Accession number 24187, reel 3.
Mr. Percy, reel 3. Before we go on with your army experiences, how did your mother feel about you joining the Territorials? How did your mother feel?
Oh, she went, as long as I was fetching the money in. I mean, I was one of those that if you got your wages, you give it to your mother and she give you what she thought. I was the same with my wages. And when I joined the 2 years, when I got my money, I used to give it. I didn't get any bounty the first year because I was only a boy, but if I got any money, I'd give it to my mother because I knew she was pretty well poverty stricken. And but we managed anyway, and that's the reason I didn't join for king and country out like that. I joined for the money. That was top and bottom. I mean, the country never done no for me. And
now 1938 was the beginning of the fear of war coming. What are your memories of what was going on then?
Well, I worked at the cabinet makers, you know, and. Anyway, on this come on the news that all there was a 1938 crisis, and I was working at the time, and they said, "Geordie, there's a news bulletin saying that all people what belong to the army or the TA have got to report to the garrison thing." So I gets me gear on, full marching order, and back to the garrison thing. Me and there was four of us boys, so. We got a rifle and bayonet. We got our rifles and the bayonet. When I stood next to the bayonet, was higher than me. Anyway, they said you're going to Billingham. They're going to put you in a school. They're going to billet you in a school, and then you're going to guard these places, like you know. Anyway, we ready to get on the wagon. And they said, all the boys have got to go back home. So I had to come back home. And that was a 1938 crisis. We were on standby. Anyway, I had to come back to the works and put my cards back in. my employment card. That was a bit left. Anyway.
Did it concern you that there might be a war?
Well, you could see it coming up, you know. I mean, Chamberlain was going up and down and with his papers and things like that, and he said there's going to be another war, and they said, well, there's a war every 20 years, so you're about you. And anyway,
your mother must have been a bit concerned though that you might be involved in war.
My other two brothers were in the regular army. My brother and my other brother were, one was in the West Yorks and the other one was in the DLIs infantry. And she had my sister, who was at home at the time, and my mother, we done us with what we wanted now. Of course, yeah, maybe it was a bit of a relief to get rid of us, and she must have had a hard life. Anyway, it must have been a relief, but she didn't worry about it. But my mother never kissed you, like, or, you know, she was a good mother. But she never had any of this kissing and cuddling business, you know, like when you say some of them on the station, and they only got a ribbon, like, and they're getting kissed, and all, and they're crying their bloody eyes out, they only got a ribbon. Anyway, she didn't worry about it, me mother. Anyway, I still worked for her till the next camp. I went to your weekend camps at Bolden.
What did you do on a weekend camp?
Well, you went away, got on the lorries, you know, and with a searchlight, and you went to, we went to ball night, a field, you put you on a field, and you had a searchlight, sound locator, and all fixed up, and you practice, you know, and they had these planes, must have had these planes coming over to teach you how to follow them, you know, and use the searchlights, and anyway, it was a bit of a laugh, you know, well, we enjoyed it, you know. And we done that generally in the summer months, like. And in the winter, like, of course, you just went up and done your drills, and of course I was pretty good at And then going, the main gun was the lowest gun. And I was pretty good at that, and I was a good shot. That is it. When it took us to fire old course, which you got 10 rounds, you fired 5 rounds, then 10 rounds, you fired 10 rounds, and that you fired your course. I was a good shot, so they said anyway. Anyway, so you're that a good shot, we're going to put you on the lowest gun. So they put us on the lowest gun. And I had to strip it, put it back together. And they used to they used to make so it was a gun stops. What's the used to the drill was if the gun stopped, it was either change the pan or if it's jammed, push, rotate, pull back, and that was for the clear the, and that they used to teach you all this. And I was fairly good at the shooting, and I saw the centre, and I fired the lowest gun at balloons. Well, I never hit the balloon. I think when the bullets was gone up, the balloon was moving away. Anyway, it was a good lap at the time.
Was it a good weapon, the Lewis gun?
Huh?
Was it a good weapon?
The Bren gun was more accurate, but the Lewis gun, it used to spray. You know, like the bullets sitting down in the one hole that went. So it was better to fire up there when you're firing it at a plane. And they were fairly good going. They reckon they were good during the First World War. And I liked them anyway.
Were you under tents when you went to your camps?
Yeah, I. We were in bell tents. There was 12 to a tent, I think. Your feet was to the post, you know. And there used to be 12, I think, at the hill. But we were walking, we were asleep, but that was when we were at camp, like. But when the war broke, we were still sleeping in tents. And
you were in annual camp, I think you said, in 39.
At Rip, the first one I went to was Oakham. And of course, I didn't get any bounty for that. But I got paid for the fortnight I was there. Like, I got paid a shilling a day.
What were the kind of activities did you do on a annual camp?
Well, you just went through the drills like a searchlight. Mostly you were the searchlight. But you had to do the coping. Somebody had to do the coping. So I was the youngest and adaptest, like, you know. So the picture they were saying it to me, so you're the cook. That was the idea, you know. You volunteer, you're the cook. And so I had a cook, but we...
What were you cooking? What food were you getting in those days?
Well, we used to have meat, and we used to have potatoes, grains, and we made a... We were taught to do all the shot oven, like make your own oven. But
how was that done?
You put a barrel and on the fire, you made a fireplace, like, you know, and you put a fire across the barrel across it, and you had a door, you know, like a tin barrel, like oil barrel, like, and then you put clay over the top, you know, over the top and round the back, so when you fire and you made a chimney so that the heat went underneath the barrel and out the chimney. And you had shelf in, so you put your meat in, and you cooked. That was all the shot oven. And but we didn't do it when we were in camp because they showed us how to do it, like. But we didn't cook with that. We had one of them paraffin. I forget what they call them. Like, there was two places where you could put Dixies on, and it was a paraffin heater. Used to blow it up, you know, and used to have cooked two pans on, like, you know, you cook the vegetable and well, the meat, we just, to tell you the truth, we went down to the nearest, people were very good to us, and we used to say, if you open it, can I put this meat in? You know, this is what they used. And what we used to get to the house, you know, the farmer's house, and say, have you got a woman, like, can you cook this meat for us? That's the way they used to. And we used to cut our meat cooked that way. That was when we were at camp, like. Mm-hmm. And the people were always very good, like. And That's how we used. But I cooked the vegetables and that thing, of course it was boiled, you see, and mucked the gravy, and that was it.
Were you a good cook?
No. When you're never a good cook, not in the army. I mean, you can praise one, but you can't praise the other. Everybody had a turn at cooking because there wasn't a special cook.
As part of your training, did you also have to do or get some knowledge of the other tasks on the searchlight? Take other people's jobs over just to learn them?
Well, I was mostly learnt on the long arm.
You were on them?
Yeah, and the other ones, the sound locator there. But he used to teach you when they were giving you lectures about how the sound locator works and how the searchlight works. And he used to focus the searchlight from the sun. He used to focus it, so that you get a nice clean beam, and they used to show you how to do that. And they used to point the searchlight to the sun, and it used to be like when when you've got a magnifying glass and you used to burn your hand. It was like that. And you had to get the light to burn on the carbon, on the negative carbon, so that it was you got it as small as you could there, burning the carbon. So that was it.
And that would be during the day, of course.
Aye.
That was sighting during the day, in effect.
Focus the searchlight during the day, so that when you're struck arc at night time, you get a nice clean beam. But there was mostly the number five jobs. He was the electrician, like. And but we always used to help and do each other's jobs. But everyone had a specialist. I was a long arm. He was because he might have done electrician's job in his civil life,
Was it a very physical job, pushing this arm, was it?
No, it was quite good, easy. You had a wheel up and down, and you just moved forward and pulled back, and it was quite light. There was if you pushed it, it would go.
So commands were by voice, you weren't on telephones, or...?
I think from the... I was just by voice, it was.
On the site itself?
Yeah. And, that was it when the... That's mostly what you learned on outside, when you went on field. But when you were in the garrison field, they just trained you on guns and things, the rifles mostly. And a recognition of aircraft. That was a bogey. We used to learn the recognition of aircraft and things like that.
Which is all right during the day when you can see them, but how did you recognise them at night?
Oh, we didn't know. We just lit the target up, and somebody must have known it was a German, because it was the guns that were fired, not us. We just lit them up. If it was one of ours, they used to have colours of the day. Say if we put the searchlights on, and it was one of ours, he used to flash you a letter of the deer, three dots and a dash. That was the colour of the deer. Every day it was changed. And they had the colours. He used to flash colours at you to say that you were British. That's the way they used to do it. But if the Germans come over, if they didn't flash, we fired at them, or they fired at them. We only lit them up if we could.
So you were at camp in 1939.
Yeah.
And was this the camp you've been telling me about?
That was I went to Odium, that was the first camp, and I didn't get paid for that one. But when I went to Ripon,
And this was 1939?
39. And I was telling you, Sunday morning, I was on guard, and the other lads went to church parade. And when they come back, they said to me, "Geordie, you're not going home. The war's brought out." And I didn't go home I didn't get home for 6 months. Because the married blokes were getting there first. Well, they were nearly all married. I wasn't married, and I was the last. And that was read through the regiment, So we called it company in them days, because we were all A's. And all the married blokes got laid first. Well, we were short of blokes, I mean, the three sergeant, corporal, and, you know, the lance corporal, they didn't do any guards. But we did, and we had the 204 off.
And you were 17, I think, at this time.
So I just turned 17. I was 17 in January, and the camp was in September, August, September. And
what did you feel when at that time when they said we're at war?
I couldn't care less, me. Of course, it was like, you know, we didn't realise, you know, and even, I mean, it was a phony war to me, you know. I mean, my mother seen more action than me. I mean, she was putting, I mean, I was at home, I was at home at the time when Binns's was on fire, and I was at Willington, and she was putting firebombs out in Broome Street, you know, and my sister. I mean, the same, and we were at Willington, it's not far from, we could see something, you know, the red light, you know, the fire. And, of course, the jungle telegraph war, the bomb in Sunderland, of course. Yeah, so they're getting stunk, and personally, myself, I thought that we were like the kids. We've been, you know, put in a safe place. That was me, right?
So the war broke out when you were at camp. What happened then?
Well, they said, you've got to do guards, you know, and they said there's got to be two guards on, one be patrolling and one on the gate, you know, when the entrance to the camp. Well, it was in Ibrahim when failed. And anyway, that meant two blokes on guard. Well, there's only five of us. We were doing two on and two four. Well, we never were getting any sleep. And the sergeants and the corporal, I mean, they weren't doing any guards. So, anyway, it was... there's IRA knocking about, you know, and there's the fifth column with things like that, these things, but we had to have guards. Anyway, then they come out with an order, everybody's got to get 8 hours consecutive sleep. How could we get 8 hours consecutive sleep? But the armor, yeah. Anyway, we struggled through.
Do you remember the names of your comrades on the site at this time?
One was called John Mather, that was a mate of mine, I remember my mate, and I can't remember the other names. I know the faces, but I couldn't name the names. I mean, it's 60 years now.
But the actual searchlight site was under the command of the sergeant?
He was in charge, and there was a corporal, and there was a lance corporal. And the lance corporal, and I was on the sound locator. And the sergeant was generally by the searchlight when it was... He was the one which said strike arc or douse. When you put the light out, it's douse. It used to be... That's the way that was. And the corporal, the way he was just a dog's body, like, you know.
And then you had your troop.
Aye.
Who would command the troop? An officer, no doubt.
Yeah, there was a bloke called Marriott. Marriott. Captain Marriott.
What was he like?
I never said much of him. He was our lady, had a big sword. He was on, in them days, they used to have a sword, you know. They used to have the Sam Browns and... they used to talk parades and that, but when we were on site, we hardly ever seen them. It was left to the sergeant mostly, and you used to get off when you used to get paid. Officer used to come pay you, you know. I got me shillings here, big money.
So at the end of the camp, or at the time that the war broke out, you moved then to other sites, did you? Well, which were now in effect a regular soldier, in effect.
Yeah, we were told like you're on. They had a name for it, like, you know. Active service, that was in. You're now on active service. You're still getting the same pay, though, like.
And where did you move to?
We were at Ripon. We stopped at Ripon, and then which is near Ditchford, you know, that we were airfield, around the airfield. But we wanted, you hadn't got to give your position away. So they didn't actually put it on Ditchford. But there was a lot of airfields around Ripon, and we were stationed at Ripon. So Anyway, our detachment, our troop, just the one troop, got moved down to Hemingham, down Hemingham Docks. And
when would this be?
1930, the winter of 39.
Before we go, come to that, when you were at Ripon itself, you were in tents, I think you said.
Yeah, hi.
And what was life like, living in a field, in a tent?
It's all right in the summertime, but in the wintertime it's pretty rough, because when you went to the toilet, and it was only a piece of wood and a bit of hessian round the toilet, and it was, say, a 40 mile an hour gale, and you're having a crap, like, you know, and so it was pretty rough. And you had to do your business in this, like a slick trench, and then put some soil on the top. And that was it. It was the coking. You had to do, well, it was rough to do the coking and things like that. We got our rations sent up, and we coked what we got. And of course, in them days, you were rationed. But we'd been in Ripon and around that area, it was in the fields, it was bags of rabbits, so we got plenty of rabbits. But we survived. We got another tent, so we could cook in one tent. So you weren't in bad weather. So you got cooked in one tent, and you slept in the other tent, and that was it. And we got a sign out, and we got a cookie to finish. Somebody was just cooked, and he did all right. Like, and of course, he always with a cookie, you always get complaints. You can't please anybody, everybody. But anyway, we survived. But we moved down to Hemingham. But
before again we come to that, what time would Reveille be?
We didn't have Reveille because we were up all night doing guards.
So night time was your main duty that time, in effect?
Yeah, you had to be on the camp, and now it was a darkness. But during the day...
So during the hours of darkness, presumably you got some sleep whilst someone else was on guard at the time.
Yeah, but there was only five of us day in the guard.
That's right, but you were getting a little bit of sleep.
I got a bit dust down, like, but...
And
what the army said, that you should get 8 hours consecutive sleep. We want to get me and here we are there. And, by the time you got your head down and got to sleep, you're on guard again.
So were you sleeping in your clothing?
No, we... Yeah, no, we wanted to, we just... We didn't have pyjamas, we just had shirt, you know, just slept in your shirt and your underpants and that. You had palliasses, what they call palliasses, with straw in. They were all there, you kept you warm. You had two blankets, and your palliasses, you were okay. And your kid bag was your pillow, and that was it. It's like being a cowboy, wasn't it? You saddle for your pillow. You have to have your kid back for your pillow.
So in those early days we're talking about, before you moved, you were, it was pretty hard going with the lack of sleep you were getting, or the short spells of sleep you were getting. Was there any enemy raids going on?
If you said anything, oh, there's a war on.
Was there any enemy activity?
I know. Yeah, sent away, like, you know, what do they call that?
So it was pretty quiet, as you were saying.
Why, it wasn't.
But you would have to obviously maintain your training whilst this.
Oh, they give us mock, you know, like mock raids and that. You had to tap the searchlight round and back again. The sergeants were shouting and bawling at you and things like that. But you were seeing right and left, you know, on the sound indicator was just the word like mock. So there was something there. It was just, it wasn't gun drill, it was searchlight drill, that's all. That was it.
And they didn't make allowances for the fact that you weren't getting much sleep. You didn't get some time off during the day.
No.
So during the day, what kind of activities would you be doing during the day under normal circumstances?
I can't remember.
You'd get you'd get an official reveille time as of early morning.
Yeah, well, the early morning, I was telling about the lorry. It was a generator as well. But what you could do, you unhitched the leads off it, and you had to go up the village for water. Well, it was like a fountain thing, you know. And it was in a village. It was Burton Leonard. So what we used to do, you take the lorry up, get so many cans of water, and fetch them back down. Well, it was the guard what was on. The guard what was on 6 to 8 was the first one. He used to tack the lorry up because it was only back and forth. Knee changing gear, and we used to go and get the water, fetch it back down for the coop. That was it. And that's then I suppose you were just lying about, like, you know, till
What would you the cook do for breakfast?
Well, it was mostly bacon and eggs. And things like that, you know, bacon, eggs, and I think it was spam or something like that. But we were rationed, like, you know. But as I say, we were Yorkshire, and there was plenty of game around there.
So there must have been some time during the day that you'd have to carry out maintaining and cleaning.
The cleaning the searchlights and what used to be cleaning the billet. You know, there was always something to do. Clean the tent, you know, clean the surrounds, dig another latrine or something like that. And what it was when we first went there, it was stupid, right? But the officer said that we had to dig like a pit, so they put the searchlight in, you know, so we'd cover. So anyway, we had some miners with us, and we were digging this hole to run the searchlight in, because it was on tracks, and we put the searchlight, because it was fine with it at the time. And we get the searchlight in, and all right, about a couple of days later, chugged it down with rain. Of course, you couldn't strike out when the police. The water was all covering the leaves. We had to pull it out and put it on the top again. But we didn't need a bloody pit, because there was no dinner. We never seen a hungry man, really. I mean, it was like, yeah, well, to me it was...
When you put it on top, did you build a sandbag wall around it?
No, we just left it as it was.
Left in the open.
And the next thing, we moved down to Hemingham.
You've been inspected, presumably, by a troop officer. Did he come in to see that you're doing what you're supposed to have done?
Oh, I used to get him like that, but you never say much of officers. Mostly the sergeant weren't doing all of those. And the officers used to come down to hear you pay. He used to salute and, you know, date properly, you know. You saluted him, put your hand out, you got your money, put it in your left hand, salute, about